All right, we're going to be in Daniel chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. If you want to join me in your bulletins or in your Bibles or on any of your devices. So here we go. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belshazzar, Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, Azariah was called Abednego. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Amen.
Thank you. So when you were in school, would you rather take a quiz or a test? How many of you would pick a quiz over a test? All right, everyone that didn't raise your hand, we pity you. Tests, oh, tests make you so uptight. Quizzes, not so much. You roll into class. Teacher says, oh, today I'm going to do a pop quiz. Not a big deal unless you're one of those type A students. Oh, no. A quiz is worse than a test. That's why you didn't raise your hand. Because a test you can study for every time. A quiz, not so, right? You might get a pop quiz. And those are almost as nerve-wracking as preparing for a big test. That's the problem about doing more school. The more school you do, the less tests you get. The more information you're responsible for. And in some cases, you get one test for the whole year. Ooh, that's a lot on the line, isn't it, for a single year. Last week we talked about Nebuchadnezzar and his army coming and conquering Jerusalem and dragging people back to Babylonia. And in Babylon, their minds were turning and were chaotic about what had gone on because, as we read last week, they were besieged by the army. Our lives do get besieged. Last week in the second two services, because I didn't want to mention anybody by name on live stream, I spoke and prayed for four particular people by name. And the good thing is, in their lives being besieged, they're all still here this week. They're all still moving ahead. They're all at least treading water and surviving in their besieged circumstance or relationship. And we know it runs the gamut, doesn't it? It runs the gamut of some tragedy that happens like a car crash to a bad report from the doctor, to a spouse coming home and saying, I really don't want to live with you anymore. To the accountant calling and saying, ooh, you know, you're losing a lot of water right now. You're definitely not in the black any longer. You're bleeding financially. And you need to get in here so we can figure out how to stop the bleeding. When our lives are besieged, it comes in a variety of ways, but the end result is the same. It's an awful reality that we must face. It's more than a surprise to us. And oftentimes it sends our life into a tailspin. It's chaotic. We're definitely now into unfamiliar territory as if you're moved from Jerusalem to Babylon. What we learn today as we look at how Daniel is handling having his life besieged, we learn that there's often a test before the blessing. There's often a test before the blessing. Isn't that true about graduation? We're celebrating a lot of graduations. There are some tests before the celebration, before the blessing of receiving your diploma. It's not only true with school, that happens in life as well, doesn't it? There's often testing before the blessing comes, and God is very good at leading us through the stress of it to the success of it. And if there really isn't much stress in it, then that success is really not very big in our life, is it? When there's been a lot of stress and we've navigated that successfully, wow, that's a really good success. And oftentimes that means that we've responded above the odds. We've put in more diligence and more work. And yes, all that preparation was stressful, but now look at the success of that. Look at how awesome that is, even though there were times when you thought you wouldn't make it. You weren't up to it. You weren't able to take in all the information that would lead you to the place of success. Daniel's positioning himself to get through the stress to the success. He wants to pass the test that comes before the blessing. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to them by the king. Now, first time I read this, I went, what is he doing? He's a captive by a foreign government. I'd just get in line and do whatever they told me to do because I'd be afraid they'd beat me and throw me in a worse place than I already am in. Not Daniel. Daniel's there and he says, okay, I am not going to conform. Now, sometimes when we say we're not going to conform, that's because we're not really thinking very logically. Most of the time, there's enough stress going on. We don't want to add to the stress. You could be one of those rare people with a real willpower. And no matter where you are, you're not doing it. It's interesting to see how Daniel's ultimate goal is a spiritual one, a faith one. But it adds to it a couple of other things, so let's look at it. You know, why is it that Daniel refuses to conform? Well, number one, there's a physical reason. Their food is not organic. Their food's not like the food that he was taught as a boy to eat. And so it was interesting that the king liked a lot of sweets. And so everybody else, because if the king's going to eat cake. Everybody's going to eat cake. And Daniel said, no, I'm in training. Did you notice that? That word? He says, I'm in training, and I know that cupcakes turn into sugar, and they make me weak and slow me down. And the reason I am as healthy as I am is because of the way that I was taught to eat. So I don't want to eat that. I don't want to drink that wine. And part of that is he wanted to be his very best physically and mentally. He was picked because he was smart and capable, a good physical specimen, and he didn't want to change that, alter that, allow that to go downhill. Number two, there's a cultural thing. Well, I'm a Jew. This is what Jews eat. And it's one thing if you don't have any Jewish food in the house, but you have Jewish food in the house. And you can take all that American food and send it. Oh, wait, wrong history point. Come on now. That was funny. Okay, there you go. Send all the biscuits back to England. He says, you've got the food that I want to eat. I'll just eat the food that I want to eat. And the reason for that is that I'm a Jew. Now, he knows there's a lot of pressure happening for him to lose his Jewishness, for him to move away from both his culture and his faith. And Daniel has this internal sense that I got to hold on to that. And so, since your food isn't kosher, I don't want to eat it. It's not good for me. And then the last issue, the big issue, is it's a spiritual issue. This is what is ceremonially right for me to eat, and ceremonially, this is not right for me to eat. This is what, again, this isn't what Jews eat. And God has told me what I am to eat. And because I want to be faithful to my God, then to me, that's a spiritual issue. And so Daniel really saw himself in training. The test was on, and it was starting to create stress in everybody else, and including Daniel. And as he was under stress, he held on to what he knew to be true. And so he refused to conform, because in Daniel's mind, I'm out to do my personal best every day. I want to achieve a personal record every day. And for me to do that, I have to be in the best shape I possibly can physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. When I'm all good with God, I'm healthy and my attitude is right. Now anything and everything is possible. Even in this foreign culture and environment, me even doing well here, that matters. That matters. Four key factors that I think move us through a circumstance, a setting, a relationship in our life that's being besieged. We come to being besieged, and our greatest worry is it'll never stop. We don't know how to make our way through that. We'll never last that long to get through it and to the other side. Remember Jeremiah's words. God says, I created you not to fail, but I've created you to give you what? A future that's filled with what? Hope and success. So there's going to be a testing before the blessing. As we're faithful to God, he takes the stress and he turns it into success. How does he do that? Four things. Number one, Daniel had integrity and he held on to it. Daniel resolved not to defile himself. That's the NIV. He resolved. In this enculturation process, the Babylonians were trying to change everything on the outside in the hopes that it would change Daniel on the inside. Can you see that? He's in a different place. They give him a different name. They change his clothes. They changed his normal activity level. All of those things are designed to enculturate Daniel and the other men to the Babylonian culture, this foreign culture. And they refuse to do that. Daniel says, you can change my name and what I do throughout the day and the different language you want me to speak and change my clothes, but that's not changing me. I know who I am, and I'm going to remain faithful to Yahweh. I'm going to stay faithful to God in the midst of this. And integrity many times is the first thing I've seen that goes out the window when your life is besieged. And I think that happens naturally because it's so chaotic. We start looking for anything to grab a hold of. Anything that will stabilize us. Anything that will numb us to the realities of what's going on. And not everything's the best thing to hang on to. Anesthetizing yourself to your emotions is, you know, that's not the best thing. Not facing forward and doing what you know you ought to do, that's integrity. And we really all have a choice in the midst of our lives being besieged. We can either conform or we can be transformed. This is the way Paul put it. He said, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. Now, that doesn't mean all the behaviors and all the customs are bad. But there are some behaviors and there are some customs. And in my adult life, I've noticed that group has gotten a lot larger in my life. The things I don't want to conform to. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Many times in our life, there needs to be some upset and some stress for us to get changed into a new person. And there is a vast majority of us that have come to faith under critical times in our life. The stress was too much. We've been besieged, and now our life is so chaotic. We got our hand in the air. And remember, as I said last week, God's reaching his hand down for you in your crisis, in your tragedy. And oddly enough, when we throw our hands in the air and say, I can't do it anymore, now our hand's in the right place to grab a hold of a God who loves us and wants to give us a future and a hope. But if we think somehow we have it all, if we think somehow capitulating to them or that is going to get us on the other side of what we're experiencing and feeling in that moment, Daniel says, no, that's not true at all. What gets you through is hanging tough with God. Moving forward in life the way that you know you ought to move forward in life, not how you feel in the moment. Remember, never doubt in the dark what you believed in the light. Why? Because darkness is dark. It's lonely, it's bewildering, it's confounding. And instead of letting go of what we know and believe, what Daniel is saying is hang on to it. Live it, believe it. Because that will move you from where you are to where God wants you to be in life. And like I said, I think the first thing that goes out the window is our integrity. We try to adapt and conform, believing somehow that's going to make us get to the other side of this. And I believe that that's something that prolongs being besieged in your life, not shorten that period in your life. Number two, he was disciplined. He was disciplined. This is the Living Bible. Daniel made up his mind not to eat the food and the wine given to them by the king. He made up his mind that he would control his appetite. And for us, just put put an S there. When our life is besieged, we get appetites, we get cravings. We lose our self-discipline. We have enough time just trying to control our mind and our emotions. And have you noticed? They're hard to control. Boy, this imagination factory starts going. And when our life is besieged, we make that into all sorts of awful things. Terrible things, evil things. And yes, in that moment, it's awful and it's terrible. It may very well be evil. But like everything else, the more we feed that, the bigger that becomes in our mind. And what we won't reinforce will stop to exist. And so Daniel said, I'm going to control my appetite. I think secretly Daniel said, you know, I really like donuts. I had a donut once. It was really good. You know, those glazed Krispy Kreme donuts right as they come out of the oven? Those are so good, they literally melt in your mouth. And then your sugar spikes way up. It would have been easier for Daniel to give in. He didn't give in, and that is clear because he was willing to control his appetite, and I think control his appetites, his cravings, as he moved forward, making his way through a life that is now besieged. The third thing is he was very courageous. Here's what, Daniel made up his mind not to eat the food and the wine given to them by the king. And notice, by them. All the food was given to all four of the men, except he wasn't sure what they were going to decide to do. He thought maybe they would go in the same direction that he was. But he was willing to have courage and stand alone if that's what it took. And it's hard to stand alone. It's hard to be the only person at the gate. At one point in my life, there was a besieging event. And I wanted to kind of duck and hide and fade in the back. And, well, I really just wanted to run. And then someone challenged me and said, but you have to stay at the gate and open the gate. If you can't keep the gate open and you're the only one that gets to be the gatekeeper here, if you don't keep the gate open, then none of the rest of this that needs to happen can or will happen. And I knew the end result. It was not going to be pretty, not going to be easy. And when you're the only one at the gate holding the gate open, that's a lonely place to be. It's a lonely place to be the only person standing up and having integrity. The only one who stopped running to face the challenge and the difficulty. And like Daniel, we have to decide whether we want to just conform and run and hide, or whether we're willing to have some courage and stand our post. Be an example of faith and hope. Paul kind of punctuates this for us in 1 Corinthians 16. He writes, "Stand true to what you believe. Be courageous and be strong." One thing I cannot tell you is that today it's a lot easier to stand and be strong and live out your faith than it was 45 years ago when I started as a pastor. I can't tell you it's easier than it used to be. In fact, I believe it is much more challenging. It is much more difficult. A person who I love a lot, who's near me, he said this. He said, "Dad, when did they let the crazy out of the box? When did that happen?" I don't know about you, but some days I think he's got an apt observation. It seems like some people are just going crazy. When people are going crazy, it takes courage to counter them. It takes somebody who understands that we worship a God who does the impossible, and that all things are possible with him. Daniel was humble. Then Daniel asked, notice that, underline asked. He asked the chief official for permission to eat other things instead of the portion of the food and the wine that was given to him by the king. Ooh, you want to say no to the king? Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you want to terminate your life quickly, just tell the king, no, I'm not doing that. Look at verse 9. Now God had given the chief official great respect and affection for Daniel. That's a God thing. That's a total God thing. Daniel is a foreigner. They hate foreigners. They don't want to be around foreigners. And in the midst of what's going on, an amazing thing happens. This staff official has discovered he really likes and really admires Daniel. For what? His integrity, his discipline, his courage, and now his humility. Now, what does Daniel do, and why is he successful? Real quick. He says no, and he says, look, I'm used to eating this way. Let's do this. I'll eat, if you let me, if you allow me to, I want to eat the food I normally eat. In fact, me and my little group, we'll all eat our Jewish food. And then down the way, check us out in a 10 to 14 days. See if we're not healthier than the other men that you picked, giving them the king's food and wine. Now notice how he delivers his request. And this is very important. You want to win in having a conversation with someone, especially one that's a little challenging, this is a great way to do it. Number one, he was polite. Have you noticed how you don't get polite when something doesn't go your own way? Right? I know that's true because I've been in the same bank that you've been in. You just didn't know I was in there. I was behind you in the grocery line. I was at the same department store in Silverdale and heard you from the other side of the store. So I know we're not very polite when we're upset. The other thing we're not is we're not positive. See, Daniel was positive because he knew God was doing something. This is awful. I hate being in Babylon. Yet, he stays positive. Hey, I worship the greatest God in the universe, a God who loves me. He has a plan that gives me hope and a future. He wants me to succeed, so I'm going to stay what? I'm going to stay positive. It's hard to do when your life is besieged. It's hard to do. He was polite. He was positive. Notice that he offers his request to the official as a question, not a statement. That's a big key. He's asking a question, not a statement. And it's amazing what happens. Well, I'm going to do this. How'd you deal with your adolescent when they said that? Shut up. Get out of the room. Go to your room. Stay there till the earth completely cools. Then you can come out. Did you not react very differently when your child, especially your middle school child, comes to you and asks you nicely? Oh, great and wonderful Father, who provides every good thing for me. Right? How do you say no to a kid like that? It's hard. It's hard. See, as adults, we think it's all about making statements. It's not about making statements, it's about asking questions. Politely, positively. And then the end, what happens? He points out that it's really up to the staff official. This is my polite and positive and gracious request to you, but I understand I'm a Jew and I'm in Babylon. This is really all up to you. Whatever you decide, that's the way it's going to be. And notice how it turns out. You know, tonight, read ahead a little bit. And it's amazing. It's amazing how God moves and works in the life of Daniel. So if you're in a place where you feel besieged today, hang on to your faith and show integrity. Discipline your appetite or your appetites. Have courage to stand alone. Always be humble as you go. Let us pray. Lord God, I'm thankful that everyone that I prayed for in my mind's eye last Sunday, they're still making it. Some are still treading waters, Lord. Others are forging a very fast moving force in life and faith. And I pray for them as I pray for us, Lord. Help them to continue to walk in integrity. I do pray, Lord, that you would be transforming them in a way beyond what they imagined as they waded into this besieging circumstance or setting in life. Lord, I pray that you would give them discipline to do what is right and to not do what is not right. Control their appetite. Lord, give them a great Holy Spirit sense of encouragement that they are doing the right thing in the midst of a very unright thing. And Lord, as we humble ourselves before you, I know that you will lift them up, that you will empower them, that, Lord, you will be their good shepherd and you will lead them through this besieging situation or relationship, and you will get them to the other side. Give them a trust in you, a hope in you, a knowledge that they too will succeed. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.